And you hit enter and a do, and then you can do a list of commands. It could be one line, it might be dozens of lines. And then when you're finished with the loop, you say done, and it will do that series of commands on each of those files as they come up.
Great. Now you do that in a script?
You do that right at the command prompt. Once you're logged in, you can type that and not have to worry about a script. Although anything that I do more than twice, I begin to think about putting that into a script.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're easy to make. And once you've made a script, you identify its file name. Usually you move that file into a bin directory that's under your home directory.
Uh-huh.
And you say chmod for change mode space plus x space that script name, and it will then make it executable so that you can just type its name and it will reinvoke that every time without having to retype all those lines every time.
Now, so it acts similar to an alias.
Aliases are also available.
Mm-hmm.
Aliases with Unix are usually just a single line.
Uh-huh.
The shell that comes with Linux is also able to do functions. Function definitions allow multiple lines to be collected up, and those are not they're kept in the memory that you're running. They are not stored on disk unless you specifically want them to be, mm-hmm. and you write them to a file.
Well, that's great. That is just absolutely great. And your articles on the Kansas City LUG are called Ed's Tips. Does the group have a newsletter, or does the website serve as a newsletter? Is that all?
Website and the being able to get on the mailing list mm-hmm. is about the way we all talk to each other.
Great. Well, I'll keep that in mind, because I looked up there and it did say join the list, so I'll have to think about doing that. As a beginner, if you have a Linux system, I've looked at the documentation. The documentation seems formidable, except when you look at info. I've found info to be very helpful. What do you think about using what type of documentation when you get on the system do you suggest a person use?
Well, as you say, there's info, and then there's also the man pages.
Uh-huh.
Man pages are not a tutorial. They're a reference manual. It's something to remind you that a particular command was meant to do some particular function and what the options, what changes they make, but how useful that change would be, how it would change the data is not learned from the man pages. That's why I was saying that you wind up needing to buy a beginner's Unix or Linux book. One of the old-time favorites for Linux is called Running Linux. And it takes you through the various steps, and by the time you finish the book, you should be comfortable with the command line. I'll put it that way.
Well, I prefer the command line, obviously. I use, you might find this interesting, I use Debian. And on my system, we have a piece of software patched into the kernel called SpeakUp. SpeakUp allows me to use this system because I have no vision. And we use hardware, we drive hardware with the SpeakUp program, and it allows us to use the command line. And we just, there are people that have written various and sundry things using SpeakUp. I have got a man on Linux that lives in Maryland, and he uses Linux at work to connect to the Unix boxes, and it works a lot better that way.
I see. So he... does he connect across a network?
Yes.
I see.
He connects across the network using a Linux box with SpeakUp and the hardware that we need to drive. We drive a speech synthesizer, and then he goes across there, and he does a lot of his work that way because it just makes the Linux makes things almost seamless going across the network, and it just makes his whole day a lot better because he doesn't have to use Windows.
And he doesn't have to put that SpeakUp software onto every kind of computer he connects to.
No. He just uses his machine to connect all, to all the others using SSH.
Yeah.
And just works slick as a button, I'll tell you. It's just really, really nice.
My first use of Linux at work was to connect between Sun file servers and Windows boxes because the Windows boxes could not see NFS.
Ooh.
So the Sun exported NFS over to Linux, and then Linux would allow me to re-export them as Windows shares. So then the engineers who worked in Unix could be able to exchange documentation and so forth with the Windows people.
I bet that got to be a little hairy at times. So, but yeah. Linux did it again. Linux did it again. And we hear stories over and over about how Linux has just really saved people's bacon. Now, the Windows people, they don't want to hear that. I'm talking about Microsoft specifically now. They don't want to hear that. Because, one, I have to reboot my system maybe 3-4 times a day on Windows. And Linux, if you put Linux on an uninterruptible power supply, it'll sit there and run for years because, number one, it takes care of all of its duties. It cleans itself, fixes the drives, sets the clock. It does all of that so you can do real work with a Linux box. Linux box can be a real tool, a real helper.
One of the tips that's on the website deals with being able to set your clock according to the National Institute of Standards time. Mm-hmm. They have time servers that you can reference to get time accurate to within a few milliseconds of coordinated universal
time.
Mm-hmm. And I go through talking about how to configure that and list some servers that you can are publicly available that you can pull. The reason for having multiple servers is because sometimes a connection to a particular one goes down because of router failures or that something has gone wrong.
Uh-huh.
So by having multiple, it allows the network time protocol daemon to be able to keep track of which ones are active and which one is the least loaded for it to be able to query and keep its time in sync with.
And you just put all that in a cron job and you never talk to it again. You just
No, it's all in the config file for network time protocol daemon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that is part of one of the Ed's tips was explaining how I set that up in my home system. And when I looked at it later, it was 67 milliseconds was the furthest off it had been for a very long time.
I think that that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful, Ed. What other types of little tips do you suggest while we're talking tonight? You have anything else for us? Any new things that will be going up on the website soon?
I'll have to give that some thought. I haven't done that in quite a while, so it's about time to update those, I think.
Well, I'd leave the ones that you have there, and if you can add to them, why? Or might make a little CD-ROM with the tips, and that way, if people need them, they can get them. Because command line to Linux user, let me tell you, has been a little daunting, and I've just decided to just bite the bullet. And I'm, like I say, I've got a Debian system, and it's running. All I need to do is get an uninterruptible supply for it, and we'll be back on all the time. So
I see.
It's just you don't want to leave. You don't want to put a Linux box on without a UPS. They just work a lot better.
Yep, it's so much better to make sure that you don't have the brownouts and so forth. Because with Linux, you're not going to need to reboot, so it'll sit there running for months.
Yeah, just turn the monitor off if you're not using
that's
it.
That's what I do at home.
That's right. Of course, I never use the monitor, so it's not even hooked up to my Linux box. So, but it's really cool. And Ed, do you have anything else before we let you go?
No, I noticed that people are beginning to collect their things here. I think we're about to close up for the night.
Well, it has flown by, Ed, and it is a nice, has been nice to meet you, and maybe we'll bring you on each first Wednesday for a few tips. If you come up with any, if you don't mind, we'll just do that.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, and thanks for the interview.
Thank you, Craig.
You're so welcome. That was Ed Allen of Ed's Tips on the Kansas City Linux User Group meeting. And this is the February 2nd meeting of the Kansas City Linux User Group. My name is Craig Martin. My engineer tonight is Mike Moore. And Mike has done a wonderful job of keeping the system going for us. And we've had a wonderful time. And Kirk Boss was our gentleman who demonstrated the Myth TV along with his sidekick named Jason. Who helped him with the command line operation. We're not sure that ever went off, where they were hoping that would go off, but it did not go off apparently like they wanted it to, but they tried it. Sometimes that's what happens with Linux. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's one of the nice things about Linux. You can work with Linux until you get it to play the way you want it to play. You can't do that with Windows, and you can do it with DOS to a limited degree, but the other advantage you have with Linux is this. Linux has a longer word for a file name. So there are lots of things you can do. That actually gives you some advantages. There are more pipes and things like that in the structure. Now, those of you that have used DOS and Linux understand what I mean by pipes. Pipes and file handlers in the command line, so things like that can work better. And I'll probably get with Ed next time and see if we can't talk about pipes. What's that? Oh, he's talking to somebody else. Pipes are very nice in the command line because you can route things to a file, you can route one command to another, you can do all kinds of neat things with pipes and file appends and things of that nature. We'll take a quick time check here. It's 24 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Time here at the library. And we're still, everybody's still in the middle of various conversations. And we're just kind of waiting around to see what's going on.
He's an admin.
I have a question. Did we get the ThinkPad to go? Did the ThinkPad ever start up? I heard it go beep there, but I didn't hear it. Didn't.
Amateur dreamer. You have actually copyrighted this, written, registered that phrase. Amateur dreamer.
I think Mike is beginning to bring stands down and help people kind of gather things up. There'll be a breakfast at the local Denny's establishment after the meeting. We will not be broadcasting from it, of course. That'll be afterward. Fellas get together and swap a few stories, kind of like fishermen do. We have a wonderful power book at our disposal here, which is sending the audio down to you from the Kansas City Public Library at 28,000 characters per second. Again, the name of the book is called Running Linux, that Ed suggests if you want to get up and running on Linux shell programming. There's also a book called Unix Shell Programming, which I've begun to read. I haven't finished it yet. It didn't look too bad either. Linux for Dummies is another book you can get. A lot of for dummies. Unix for Dummies, Linux for Dummies. DOS for Dummies was the old DOS version. If you've used DOS in the past, Linux is quite a bit like that, except it's more powerful because it doesn't have the 640K limit that DOS does. You actually go beyond that with Linux. You can use, I've seen people use machines as small as 16 meg RAM with, very, very limited hard drives. You know, 1 gig drives have been used. So it's kind of neat stuff. You can have many command lines running at the same time, doing several different things. The thing actually multitasks quite well. So a lot of advantages to Linux. I'm saying this mainly for beginners. Those of you that are experienced Linux users, indulge a little if you would. Trying to make the meeting as open to as many as we can. Just in a lull here where everybody's talking. Okay, we're about ready to sign off here. Let me give you a time. It is 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Time, and minus 18 seconds, and we're going to sign off. And thank you once again. Let me give you the credits here. My name is Craig Martin, and with me has been Mike Moore running the sound this evening. And with the interviewers, we're with Ed Allen, who spoke on shell programming, and Kirk Boss gave a demo on Myth TV. Thanks once again for listening, everybody. My name is Craig Martin. This has been the Kansas City Linux Users Group meeting for February the 2nd, 2005. Thank you for listening.